And we are going to let the small ones who are going to children's church be dismissed, and we are keeping junior church with us this morning in light of what we have special going on this morning. While the children's church gang is stepping out, pros and cons to all of life from my perspective. And to me, truthfully, one of the privileges of our church is that the missionaries that we can lovingly support, that we can personally pray for, are individuals that we know. Individuals that we are connected with more than just a name. And that's huge for me. I think real people, not perfect people, but just even as we sang one of the previous songs about being in the service of the King, the truth is, if you're sitting here today as a believer and a follower in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in the service of the King. The question is, are you exercising stewardship in how He has gifted you and wants to utilize you in your service of Him? And so, for me, it's a privilege not only to think about the fact that we know our missionaries. There's a very real sense in which Ryan and Rachel are just normal people. And Ryan is gifted in certain areas. And in the area of giftedness that God's given him, he's basically said, Lord, I want to use how you've created me in a purposeful way for your honor, for your glory, for what you want to accomplish in this world. And so to me, one of the huge encouragements there is, you know what? Missionaries, nothing personal, you guys, but missionaries aren't up here. They're people just like you and me who have said, Lord, how you've created me is yours to use for your purposes. And that's hopeful. That's encouraging. And so as Ryan and Rachel come up and get ready to share what the Lord has laid on their heart in this time frame, I would just encourage you to be open to both wanting to pray for them more, to encourage them in what they're doing, but also to keep that little window open that says, Lord, as Ryan shares, help me to see where you might want me to hear what you would desire of me. And then I would also encourage you to stay for the next hour from 10:45 to 11:45 as they share more specific details of their ministry in Brazil and how you can be actively involved in that, even though you live north of the border, so to speak. So, Ryan, thank you.
Good morning. I want to say graça e paz, grace and peace to you. That's how our kids are greeting everyone at church this morning in Brazil. Seth and Nathan stayed behind to study and to work, and we're here. Oh, we're back home on the farm. So, yeah, we are among neighbors and brothers and sisters in Christ. So try not to get overly emotional about that. Okay. We miss being away and seeing everyone. It is a privilege for us to be back here this morning and share with you in person. Media does help. WhatsApp, Skype calls, email newsletters. But it doesn't replace this. So before we share a brief video, as you know, picture's worth a thousand words, I wanted to share with you a little bit of the reality of the Amazon. I would say it's where we live, but we lived in a city in the Amazon region for 12 years till we moved to central Brazil. Central Brazil, where the headquarters of Asas de Socorro is located. Asas de Socorro means wings of help. It's the MAF affiliate started by Mission Aviation Fellowship 66 years ago, turned over to national leadership in the 90s. So all of our coworkers speak Portuguese. Portuguese is what we speak in our everyday. It's more of an issue for Ryan and I than our kids. But what is the reality of the Amazon? Think about what you did this morning before you came to church. Did you get up, have a glass of water, crystal clear? Probably the first thing most everybody does when they get up. Did you then wash your face with some clean water to get that sleep dirt out? Yeah. Where'd you get your water out of? Did you brush your teeth? Yeah, I'll take the toothbrush back, Mom. Did you get up and take your vitamins? Anything else you need? Then, did you sit down, have your devotional with time in God's Word, talk to God this morning? That reality is not a reality for a lot of people who live in the Amazon region. They estimate the Amazon region of northern Brazil, where the Amazon rainforest, all of the things you see on National Geographic really are true. The visual, their read on it sometimes is a little skewed. But they estimate 35,000 communities scattered throughout the Amazon. Mission organizations estimate 17,000 of those have never heard about God, never heard the gospel in any form, not even from any cult or other religion. And that boggles our mind. 21st century, no one's heard of Jesus. They don't have scripture in their language for one of the 180 Indian groups, more than 440,000. They don't have scripture even in their language to do their devotionals and talk to God. They don't have fresh water to drink. They go down to the river and grab some, but that comes with anything else that comes with it, everything else that comes with it. They don't have vitamins or even basic medicines to do, and you surely don't have a tap to wash your face and get ready in the morning. Go down to the river and do that too. So that's the reality of the people we're trying to reach. Azusti Sokoho mean their theme, our motivation, is giving wings to those who give their lives. We're the transportation. We use the small aircraft to get pastors and missionaries and help. Aid, God's word, a little bit of everything in those small planes so that people can hear the hope that we have in Jesus. So that light can shine, because they do live in darkness and fear. So I'll share a brief video, and then Ryan will share the message this morning. And that's where the people live, where we minister to. Just to give you an idea, people living in those villages, if they need to get to a local town of any size for anything, their standard mode of transportation is walking. Bill Mix, you should be real familiar. People around the world, this is a standard mode of transportation right here. But if they want to get to a town, it would take them 65 days walking with all that goes with that. I'm not real into hiking, but then maybe you could take your canoe if you don't feel like walking or if there's no way to walk. That would take you 31 days just to get to town for anything. Or you could hop on the bus lines. The bus lines on the rivers are these river boats. That would only take you 4 days. You'd have to buy the ticket, of course. So you'd have to have money and choose with if that's what you want to use it for. Or if you take one of our planes, you can get there in 1 hour. So yes, aviation is expensive, but it's still a needed resource in missions to get God's light to those people who live in the Amazon. I encourage you to grab a picture in the back to help you remember to pray for us. If you do not get our newsletter, please fill one of these out. We primarily send by email, but if you don't have email, put your mailing address and we'll send it to you. Mom and Dad, they help us on that end. So please, please do that. We love to stay connected and keep you up to date with what God is doing.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Well, I was here in 2018, getting ready to get trained in helicopter maintenance. Rachel and Anna, the last time they were here in 2015, because of health issues and doctor not allowing Rachel to travel, so they've been away a while. So it's good to be back. It's a little intimidating being up here. When I was getting ready to, or thinking about what the Lord wanted to do with my life, I said, I'll do anything, Lord, as long as it's not public speaking or vaccinations. And he was a little quiet on that side. But anyway, songs today were excellent. I was checking down what I wanted to speak about and checking off about just about everything I wanted to talk about. So, and I didn't even talk to them about it. So, before we get started, everybody has seen what's going on in Afghanistan. Friends of ours who were trained at AZUS, and AZUS loaned them to another organization, are working in Afghanistan as a pilot and mechanic. And today we got a notice that they had to move from the house that they were living in. They moved to a different location that's a little more secure. The Taliban are in Kabul, where they're at, and they're trying to find an open window to be able to get to the airplane and take off and leave the country. So from what I understand, that they're there, their whole family, and one other family, two other families. So if we could pray right now for them and also for the message today. Lord, we thank you that we can come and worship your name and with freedom and without fear of retaliation. We pray today for Andres and Camila and the other two families that are, their life is in danger, Lord. We pray that you keep them safe, give them wisdom, and give them the opportunity to leave the country safely with the airplane. Thank you for their service there. I pray now that as we study your word, that you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Since I was here last, I've had to get a new accessory, and I'm still trying to figure them out, so I apologize if they get in the way. Since Rachel and I started working in missions, Romans 10, 9 through 15 has been a passage that we keep going back to. It's a short passage, but there's some things in it that I want to look at today. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then I want to pay attention to these next four questions. How then can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I want to look at the first question. How will they call on him who they have not believed? In thinking this over, I think Pastor Jeff talked to us about 6 weeks ago, told us that we would be sharing during the message time. And so I started ruminating on this passage and looking what the Bible has to say for each of these questions. And the psalmist In Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." Now, as Rachel said, Brazil was kind of where the Lord made his handiwork. Where we live today in Anapolis is one of the best places in all of Brazil to see the stars. We have skies that are clear. There's not a lot of ambient light. And we're at a higher elevation. So there's not a lot that makes the stars not able to be seen. And when you go out at night, you can just see God's handiwork. I mean, the heavens just scream that there's a creator God. At any given time, we can see Mars, the little red planet. And it's just, it's pretty cool. But it's not only the heavens. If you go to the Amazon has the biggest or the largest variety of plants and animals in the whole world. We have lush forests, tall trees. One of the things that I've gotten into is woodworking, and I build planes. One of the woods that I'm just fascinated with is this wood here. It's a hardwood. It's called purple heartwood in English. And when you plane it off, it turns a brown. But when it sits in the light, it turns a deep purple. And it is just a vibrant wood. And it's just fun to work with. I just think it's absolutely beautiful. Another wood that's pretty cool is this. I only have a small piece. It's called ipé. It grows in the forest, and usually when you're flying, it'll be the only tree. You'll see green broccoli everywhere because the trees look like broccoli. But you'll see this one tree in the middle of nowhere that's huge and has yellow flowers, and it's just brilliant. And the wood is something that's special. It won't burn. And this was attested to. The boardwalk down in Atlantic City is made of this. Several shops caught on fire, and it just smoldered. It never burned. So it's just neat to think about that there's a wood that doesn't burn. We have wonderful colored birds, tons of parrots, macaws. The Indians say the macaws taste like chicken. We have panthers, the spotted kind, that are yellow and black. And we have the black panther. And when he turns into the sun just right, he's spotted as well. Snakes. Rachel doesn't like me talking about snakes. If you guys have heard of warfarin for blood pressure or thinning of blood, it actually comes from a poisonous snake in Brazil. It's called the jararaca. And if it bites you, it causes your skin to fall off, basically. The only problem with the jungle is everything's trying to kill you. So there are large expanses between communities. You can walk for days, literally, through the jungle and not meet another person. And each jungle village that you come to might speak a different language. And the languages aren't attached to each other. They're completely separate. So it baffles the scientists because they want to say that people traveled and that they made new villages and the language adapted from one from the other. But you have languages that have nothing to do with the other. The jungle is so dense. A couple years back, a missionary went out on a hunting party with the Indians, took his dogs. The Indians took a left, he took a right. The dogs came back, he didn't. It's that easy to get lost. If you guys want to hear the rest of the story, come back for this next hour and we'll tell you about it if you ask. But the problem with the forest is it's overbearing. If you don't have a perspective of who God is, you cannot see the beauty that he has made because you're trying to survive. You don't know if when you go out if there's going to be a leopard there or a spotted tiger or a spotted leopard that's going to attack you. You don't know if you'll be eaten by a crocodile. Romans 1, 20 through 23 says, For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. He's talking about the people. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creepy things. The jungle has a lot of creepy things. And I can attest that the indigenous people do make idols. And they are very perverse. But whenever you wake up every morning and you don't know if you're going to eat that night, you don't have time to look at the beauty. You have to focus on your survival. The indigenous like to worship the birds. They are afraid. They kill any newborn baby that is deformed. They will not stab it or beat it to death. They will bury it alive. And any twin, they will kill the twins. They will bury them because they believe that it is an evil spirit that caused it. So it's something that the government wants to keep going because it's their culture, but the missionaries are constantly in a struggle to try to teach them that there is value in human life. We have organizations that want to keep, to try to save the planet, and but in their way, they are also worshiping the creation. They see only value in the creation, and they're not doing it for because the Bible tells us to be caretakers. They do it because they're worshiping the creation. So both perspectives are wrong. And if you do not have a perspective that is correct of who God is, you will not see it, even though it is right there before your eyes. The second question, and how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? Acts 8:26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join his chariot." Philip ran to him, heard him reading the Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" this last year, a lot of times as missionaries, we get involved with other missions. They have a need, and the church that we attend, the denomination has a ministry that they just started, and so they asked Rachel and I to help in various functions. And this year, they wanted to go on a missions trip, and we sent Nathan. Kind of during the pandemic, it was a little bit stressful, but he went and had a good time. But they were going to the southernmost state called Rio Grande do Sul, which was the Great Southern River. And it's the farthest state south. It's mainly German descent, Italian descent, and there's some Indians, indigenous people. And so they were going, there was a missionary that's been there for years, and he has been having problems. He started a church, it's an indigenous church, and it wasn't moving forward. So The mission, the ministry that we were involved with, took a team down to do some church planting and help encourage him as a missionary. And there are two tribes. There's the Kaigungi, which is a warring tribe. They're big people. And there's the Guarani. And the Guarani was actually a lot of Portuguese words are Guarani, which is the indigenous language that they speak. So they had a big influence on Brazil. It's a group of people that has diminished. They're not as big as they were. And they kind of live on the same reservation. So they went to work with these groups. They were mainly focusing on the Guarani, but the Kaigungi, they were going to do some work in the villages. And what it is you got a village here, you got a village there, and they live on this reservation that just one leg of it was 35 miles long. So it's a rather large reservation. The tribal chiefs will divvy up the land between the members, and then it's rented out to the farmers, and they were planting wheat when I was there. So Nathan went on this trip. And so the director, who is a friend of ours, started going from village to village. And his idea was, we'll just go to three, because they, with the pandemic, they weren't able to take as many people as they wanted to. So they went to the first three Kaigungi villages. Now, the Kaigungi the year before had killed a congressman that had gone there to try to raise votes. They shot him. So it was rather tense for the group to go, to say the least. But he started talking to the village elders. And they got all excited. And so he would go to the next village. Well, then one of the elders heard that they were visiting these villages, so they wanted them to go to their village. So at the end of the day, they went to seven villages. And he was only wanting to go to three. So then he had promised to go to seven, so they were stretched for a week to work in there. So they divided up into two groups, and they were working with the Kaigungis, and Nathan was with a group that went to the Guarani. Now, the Guarani aren't as aggressive. They're a little bit more smaller in frame, but they also are in the area. So they went to the tribal chief, and he was a tribal chief for even, there's part of them that are down into Argentina. So he was a rather powerful person. He could he had a lot of sway in the community. So if he said something, the tribe would do it or not. And so he allowed them to start working in the village. You could only have access through him. Somebody, somewhere, called the Indian Affairs during this week. And Indian Affairs came to check it out because they don't like evangelicals going into the communities. And so the director of the ministry decided to pull the people back, and they stayed at the church lot, which is right on the edge of the reservation. And they were just they're praying, and they were getting ready to do some other things to divert their attention. While they were there, one of the Indians or indigenous people went to the village elder and said, they can't come here. Why don't we go there? So they walked. They went to the church. It was kind of funny. We saw videos. They had to do a dance of purification before they could sit down and hear about the Lord. But it was basically getting rid of all the evil spirits. During one of these, so they were starting to come out. So the Lord stopped them going in, but brought the Indians out. During this time, a young gentleman received the Lord, had a true conversion, and now he is working, because since he is full Guarani, he can't be barred from going in. So he's starting a church in the middle of the reservation. So I just got an email last week that said that they're now looking to expand. They actually started two churches while they were there. They're getting ready to expand both churches. So Lord is really working in that community. And the cool thing is the two tribes really don't get together. But when they're in church, you don't know who's who because they're brothers in Christ. The biggest problem that they're facing is there's a neo-Pentecostal church that's in the area that is really confusing them. Tells them that they can't play soccer, which is like telling us we can't watch football. But that the ball is the head of Satan. So so anyway, there's a little bit of confusion there. But the missionary that's there is very rock solid and is teaching, and the community is growing in Christ. Okay, the third question. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Paul says, "Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified." Should be disqualified. One of the things that we have seen in the last several years, we talk about the new generations coming up. We are having a difficulty adjusting to this new generation. I know Anna gets upset when I say that, but it's true. I call our kids the microwave generation. They want everything here and now. 10 seconds, it's ready. But our experience has been that you need to prepare. And prepare well. When I went into maintenance training, I was 3 years working, learning how to work on an airplane. 21 years later, I have my cards here in the U.S., and I have cards in... I had to go back and take all the tests again in Brazil, in Portuguese. If that doesn't affect your ego, I don't know what does. but all the time we're studying. People will ask me, "What's the torque? How do you tighten this bolt?" I said, "I don't know. Go look in the manual. It's all there." Everything we do is on a manual. Unfortunately, I don't have an aircraft manual, but I do have two VW Bugs in Brazil, and I bought a VW manual because I have not studied the VW, and I don't know everything. But this is a manual, and it will tell me what I need to do to keep the car running. It will tell my kids what to do when it starts on fire, which it has. And likewise... this was a Bible that was translated. It's the first translation for an indigenous language in Brazil. It's a complete Bible. Can you guess when it was that it took place? 2002. There's over 400 languages in Brazil. Most of them only have the New Testament, if they have anything. One second, my notes just disappeared. Okay. I haven't studied flying, but let's say that I want to fly. How many of you would go with me? No? I think it'd be cool. I mean, if something happened, I could repair it. Still don't want to? Okay. But Richard and Karen have gone in the planes that I've completely taken apart and put back together. I didn't tell them until afterwards. but the Bible is our manual, and we do need to look at it. There's a lot of false doctrines out there, and it's because they're not studying what there is. Going back to this YY Bible, the gentleman started back in the 50s translating it. And while he was translating, he only did the New Testament. Got to 1980. He was ready to retire. And the chief said, "Hey, that's great. When are you going to finish it?" So he started on the Old Testament. He stayed out of retirement, and the tribe has its own Bible, a full translation. And there's about 1,500 people worshiping in the YY language because of it, because God's word's there. And the gentleman, I don't know if the missionary has died. He was rather old. But the work that he has done is going to be eternal. Okay, the last question, we need to hurry, is, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? There's three verses I'd like to look at, or three passages. The psalmist in Psalm 96, 2, 3, and 10 says, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge people with equity." Even in the Old Testament, there was a plan for all the peoples to be saved. Personally, I think that Israel was supposed to be the vessel to bring people to Christ. But they got ethnocentric and didn't do their job. Matthew 28, 19, and 20. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." I do want to focus on a word here, but let's go back to the Psalm, Psalm 67, 1 through 3. "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." One of the things that in the 80s through 2000 that the missions were doing, they were going out on trips. They would line up 30 people. They would go to a community on a boat, spend a week there, come back and say that they had thousands of converts. Okay, I would like to go back to that same community a year later and see if there's a church. The Bible definitely points to making disciples. We need to make disciples. We need to build churches. Missionaries need to be sent with a purpose. How is what I'm doing advancing the church? Me as a mechanic, I've rebuilt 5 or 6 airplanes. But if what I'm doing is not helping to make disciples and plant churches, it has little or no eternal value. During this pandemic, I've had a lot of time to think. We've had several lockdowns. And we've since 2018, when I was here, we had an accident. I've been rebuilding the plane. We've been putting a lot of hours into it. But it dawned on me that in 10 years, that plane might be no more. And if it's not being used to proclaim Christ, all the hours that I put into it are nothing. It'll be a nice airplane. Sending churches need to hold their missionaries accountable. Putting me up here, it's not my favorite thing to do. But it's a way to hold us accountable as missionaries. We're reporting what's going on. This church needs to hold your missionaries accountable. Are they serving? You guys are partners with us. Anytime you give us money, you are helping us to stay there and serve. If we are not serving, not using the money that you send, then it's for naught. We're just living comfortably. I do want to thank you. The church gave money for 3 projects that we have. Today, our church, one of the projects was getting a sound system for our church. They didn't have a good microphone. The new pastor likes to, he's tall, he likes to hold the microphone down and away. Nathan, our son, is in charge of sound. It drives him nuts. he felt there was a need to And it's hard because a lot of our services have been in broadcast. And when you can't hear through the microphone, it's just an image. Nathan wanted us to help get some funds for the church to be able to buy a microphone. Yesterday, Nathan went and bought a microphone. The pastor was extremely. He said you couldn't believe the smile on his face. Today, they are preaching with that new microphone that this church paid for. So I want to thank you. There was a couple that came to Brazil. They raised their money, and I have a hard time with this. A person says, the Lord's calling me. They went to Brazil after raising thousands of dollars. They went to a community to start Bible translation. After a year, they said, this tribe doesn't need translating. Everything's wrong here. We're going home. I have a problem with that. So was the Lord leading or not? Where's the church that said, you gave us a promise. You said that the Lord's leading you. Why didn't the church hold them accountable? I don't know if they did. But you guys need to hold missionaries accountable. As Pastor said, we're normal people. We're sinners. I get mad at Rachel. I know that's hard to believe. She doesn't get mad at me. Ozzus works with, we're kind of the middleman. We help other people get to where they need to be. We have other resources that they don't have. And when we work in a community, if it's not with a church, our work is for naught. But there's a river called the Purus. It is probably the river that most winds around of the whole Amazon system. So you go 10 miles by boat just to make 1 mile of linear travel. There's a mission that partners with Ozzus that has been there for 20 years trying to get into the communities there. And they have been rebuffed every time. Ozzus put up made a project where we would go in and give them clean water filter or water filters for clean water. We would teach them sanitary, how to be sanitary, make outhouses, stuff like that. But we did it in conjunction with this other mission. Today, actually, they were there last year. They just were able to get back because of COVID, and they were greeted with brothers and sisters in Christ. So like I said, if work is not working with the church, if it doesn't have a focus for starting a church, it's going to be hard to have eternal ramifications. For the last 6 weeks, I've had a song going through my head. It was written by S.K. Klein or Hine. It's a hymn, but it was a poem first. It was written to a melody that was Swedish, translated from the Russian. But it really is an outline of what I was talking about today. Starts out, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. When Boeing says, our planes will handle any onslaught that weather can give, I just laugh. And then I cry because I'm in it. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with a shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy will fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.